May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1085. Hence vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. 1085.
Thank you. Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. Mark in chapter 1. We commence our reading at verse 9, the ninth verse. Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, from verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further then, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils. and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. When they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Amen. Lord, we do see how to pray worthy of that approach unto thee. We need all worthiness centering in the worthy Lamb. We would come, Lord, seeking that thou would raise our souls above the ground and the sin that dwelleth in us. We pray, Lord, that thou would help us. Oh, Lord, we are brought to realise that we are so defiled by it, by sin, that we need thee more than we did, and we need thee now. Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us by the blessed Spirit of whom we have read. Grant, Lord, that sweet abiding upon us as it may flow down in the truth of the gospel. That sweet anointing, that's what we need. Pray, Lord, that thou not leave us to a form without the power, a form of godliness without the power. Lord, how we view ourselves and seek, Lord, to be delivered from that which is of the flesh. And pray, Lord, that thou come now and grant we may be gathered together unto him. We read of those that hastened unto thee and came, Lord, with a need in their hearts and lives. We read, O Lord, the city was round about him with so many burdens and so many needs that it needed the Lord himself. We pray, Lord, that thou remember us this evening. Come, Lord, thyself, and draw near, and draw our hearts up unto thee. Forgive our sin. We do pray that they may be blotted out. And we read of those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And surely it is when Jesus draws near. We pray that thou help us now to seek. Thou wilt remember us together. Lord, there may be many burdens and cares. maybe sorrows and many, many, many things. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us, each one. We say, Lord, that thou wilt remember the deacons and the church and congregation. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt sustain thy church and remember us in our great concerns about the church of God. Lord, that thou wilt come and revive thy work. May thy truth be sweetly known in many hearts. May there be a quickening like those dry bones being gathered. And Ezekiel, may the Lord appear. May those, Lord, be brought back. Or those that may be without thee, may be sweetly brought to know thee and begin with me. Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember us as we call upon thee for the young and as they gather in the Sabbath school and as they are brought to look into the scriptures to be with them. We pray, Lord, for the afflicted. Pray for those, Lord, in trouble. Seek, Lord, for those that may come into fresh trials. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember those that are oppressed. And those, Lord, that may say with Jehoshaphat, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us with that favour thou bearest to thy people. Oh, Lord, to grant that sweet favour of the Lord, the unction, the savour of that ointment of thy grace and that reviving power of it in sinners' hearts, the vital breath of it. Lord, the sweetness of it, we hope we know something of it. That vital application. Lord, come. Like the dew upon the branch or the south wind. We pray, Lord, that thou hear us for those that are perplexed. Maybe much buffeted and tried, and we believe Jesus was so too. But, oh Lord, to grant help of God to pray again, seek thy face, or who can tell? We do pray for the cause here and the causes round about, our own cause. Oh, that thou wilt hear us. Grant, Lord, application of thy truth until our hearts move like the trees before the wind. Maybe, Lord, a loosing by thy grace and a moving of hearts unto thee with that desire for heaven. Lord, how we pray that thou deliver us from this whole dying world. We sung of it. Lord, we ask for real things, for real sinners. Oh, do come. Grant a little sweet liberty. Help of God for us. We may draw from that well of Bethlehem, the wells of salvation. Do grant, O Lord, a little sweet deliverance and a little knowledge of him. And then, Lord, we shall be blessed. And oh, leave us not to be a hindrance, a stumbling block. Lord, we pray that thou help us to plead that worthy name, seek unto it, as sinners must do. I am oppressed, said one, undertake for me. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember any special afflictions and trials and troubles. Lord, do come. For any, Lord, that are perplexed. We read of the city Shushan that was perplexed. How much more do thy people feel to be perplexed? We pray, Lord, that thou hear us now as we pray for our land. O Lord, look down. It's the light of the candlestick we need. And the blessing of God upon thy word in these dark days. The deliverance from the power of sin and Satan. Lord, do grant a better day. Hear us, Lord, You are sovereign, and touch our heart and ours too. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt remember that those we bring to thee, Lord, that may be longing for deliverance, waiting upon thee. Lord, do grant their set time to favour Zion. We read which is come. Oh, may it be sweetly so. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt come over the mountains, skimming upon the hills, like a roe, a young hart. Oh, we need thee, just like that. Oh, to come quickly. Lord, we have many, many things, but thou canst come, and thou canst make mountains into plains. So, Lord, come swiftly. We ask that thou help us to thank thee as we ought, and we do, but need help of God to bless thee aright. Daily mercies for loved ones over many, many years. And we pray also, Lord, for those that be seeking unto thee for that guidance and direction. And Lord, those that have burdens with young ones, we pray that thou wilt remember them, Lord. They may be seed to serve thee. Now, Lord, we ask that thou wilt come, grant thee atonement, sweetly known and felt, the blood of Jesus for our sin. Oh, it's the defilement of it. Lord, we pray that thou wilt quite deliver us from the power of unbelief and infidelity. Come, Lord, and hear the cries this evening, that thou wilt speedily come and show thyself through the letters. Let me know yon lovely man. May we be able to discern him too. We ask that thou wilt hear us, Lord, pleading that worthy name, seeking that mercy in the man. Praying that thou wilt come, Lord, and help us now to ask these things. In Jesus' name, with much confession of sin and much lowliness of heart, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing o'er. 886.
as the Lord may help me, I direct you to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 54, verses 11 and 12. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 54, verses 11 and 12. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I'll make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, all thy borders of pleasant stones. Isaiah 54, verses 11 and 12. This is the word that seems to be impressed on my mind. We always have to venture very much upon the help of God. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Well, what a good place that is. The Lord seems to gather still those characters. We've been reading about them. They came to him from every quarter. Spiritually, those that seemed to be so afflicted and then tossed with tempest too. Oh, and they look for comfort, but it seems to be afar from them. It's what the Lord will do, isn't it? I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and thy foundations with sapphires. Of course, it speaks here of the living church of God, especially in the gospel day. Much reference could be spoken here to the church of God before the coming of the dear Redeemer. Oh, the afflictions then of those that suffered for waiting upon the Lord. And those that were given to the many things that came to pass before the coming of the Lord Jesus. More than we can know, more than we can understand. And it seems to me that I'm drawn out somewhere in these words especially. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted. We seek help to get further in the first part here. It seems to me, friends, that the Lord brings this on my mind so. We have spoken from this word before. But, friends, it's when the Lord speaks especially to the afflicted. O thou afflicted, when he's got a word for them, when in the spirit of the gospel there is something so exceedingly wonderful that the Lord will do for them, it's in Christ, isn't it? All these sweet merits of him, and the things that belong to the coming of the Lord Jesus. O thou afflicted. I was thinking about it, just coming along, friends. Perhaps there are those that they seem to be afflicted. I was thinking of afflictions in the body and mind, soul and circumstances. Many other afflictions. The Lord speaks about afflictions. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord delivereth him out of them all. Sometimes those afflictions are especially, as we read in God's word, those devils, and really it's that severe affliction, isn't it, of minds, and those that know a little of the way, they'll know what it is to be afflicted in their minds, and they're ready to go back, ready to conclude that their case is too hard. Not so. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest. That's how it seems to me. But those afflicted ones, but they're tossed with a tempest. They've got afflictions, but then they've got those afflictions in their soul. They've got those things that try their spirit so, that seem to lay them low. Are you like that today? Oh, that they would be able to know that deliverance from afflictions, body, mind, indeed, soul and circumstances. And the Lord grant maybe something here. But it really speaks of the living church of God, friend. Really. We know nothing until we're born of God what these afflictions of the gospel are and the sanctifying of them and the need of the Lord Jesus in a saving way. There's a spirit of, well, we have to just get through. But you know, the Lord sanctifies. He makes profitable these severe afflictions of the body, mind, and circumstances too. And especially as we may notice those that were waiting upon the Lord for his coming. Are there any like that this evening? It's like the church in the wilderness, waiting for the Lord. I was going to say fearing the worst, but what I mean to say is that so tried in their minds about it. Devil dragged is another expression, isn't it? Or tempest tossed, that's in this, in the text. It's that way in which the Lord finds these characters. He finds them indeed. That's a mercy, isn't it? Oh, thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours. I want to speak a few things from the first part of our text that has been upon my mind. We do seek to speak as God may direct us to those that may be ready to give up or may be ready to go back or ready to believe the devil. Well, we got bad hearts, haven't we? If I might say, we're ready to believe the devil more than the Lord. I speak very carefully. It's unbelief, isn't it? Is it a trouble to you? Oh, I could believe. Oh, that I could know a little peace, a little comfort, deliverance. But it needs the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? I'm speaking to living souls, not dead ones. Those that would see Jesus. But oh, they seem to be so unlike the people of God and so tossed about. In their minds and hearts. Well, the Lord grant we may be able to speak a word in season. Lord, grant some token for those that are tossed with tempest and not comforted. Those that may need the Lord especially. And then, as God may direct me, keep thinking of these words here. I not quite fully understand why they're so laid in my mind. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. What does it mean? Well, this is a good work, isn't it? The Lord laying these stones with fair colours. It seems to be a word concerning the Lord and his people. And in the word of his grace here, one of these I wills. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. What does it mean? Well, these stones that are spoken of here are stones that we speak about here. As God may it help us. Lay thy stones with fair colours. few thoughts about it. It is that way in which the Lord gathers up his people. Really, it's laying of these stones especially. Some of you may know what it is. And the Lord graciously lays that stone when it so troubles your heart. And putting it another way, is that need of the Lord to come and lay something down that may be to the furtherance of the gospel, or that way in which there may be need of the Lord to appear. And grant that help of God in the affliction's path. Then, as God may graciously help me. What do we need in Zion, friends? Lord, to lay some of these precious stones down, don't we? Upon all the many, many trials and troubles there are, things that are made manifest, they're so solemnly revealed. Oh, that if I may be directed aright. It is good when the Lord lays some of these stones for his dear people. Think of them, think of it like this. Would the Lord remember Zion? He'll lay these stones with fair colours. His name is in it. Oh, what a sweet thought that is. There is one special trouble, so great is the burden of it, the oppressive nature of it. And then, do we know something of this sweet word? I will lay thy stones with fair colours. And I think it really means that preparation of the gospel. Put it in another way. I believe it is that beginning of the Lord's work in a poor sinner's heart. He lays these stones down. Oh, and in that sweet truth that he brings his people to wait upon him and to find that he is with them. It's very sorely tempted indeed. Now, let me look at it in this way. What has the Lord done in our little lives, friends? He laid a few stones. Say, well, the Lord brought me out of that trouble. Now, another aspect of it is this. When we may speak of the matter like this, the Lord beginning to lay these stones by way of deliverance. His church, his people. Oh, they do need the Lord to lay some stones down. They might be able to tread and go quietly on. They indeed need the Lord to come and help them. The need may be like this. The way is rough and rugged. It is a way so trying, and it may be a way hard to get over. Maybe a word so difficult for those that seek the Lord. Well, if the Lord put some stones down, friends, on you'll go. Held up, held on, maintained. What about those troubles? They'll be under your feet by God's grace. Be able to see a little that boundless love of God. As we speak of it like this, it's this laying down of these stones so that there is comfort to the Lord's people. And also it is, if I may say, that's a wonderful grace of the Lord to lay these stones for those that tremble and wonder if the Lord is with them or not. or may indeed feel so much in need of the Lord to guide them in some particular way, in some particular manner, and their souls are really buffeted and afflicted. And put it in another way. It is the way the Lord chooses to bless his people. What way is it? Putting ground under their feet, that's mercy's ground. Bringing them there to fall at his dear feet and plead what he has done. Do you know something of it? Say, oh, I'm so ruined. Go to him, friends, and tell him. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. You say, oh, he's getting above the truth of the gospel. I'm not, you know. It's this, isn't it? When we've got nothing, then we might hasten unto him, but not before. When we need the Lord, then it is to be inquiring unto him. One of those set times, is that what you need? A set time? Favour Zion. Or perhaps it may be in something the Lord brings to pass. And it's like one of these stones that are laid for these poor characters that, oh, they do need the Lord to be with them and guide them and to help them to know which way to take. Or in another way, when they speak of it, it's this work of the Lord so wonderful. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. It seems to me there's something deep in that word that the Lord attending to some particular trouble. It needs help of God to walk in it. It needs the Lord's help to pursue the narrow way as we sing. To him we view. We try and speak of it. Oh, it's when the Lord graciously begins something. It's deliverance, isn't it? And the Lord convinces with sin, friends, it's for deliverance. It's for that soul's good, isn't it? It is for the Lord to come and show himself gracious through the man. I like that expression. And then perhaps there's something here I haven't quite got to, really. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. I think perhaps it's this work of the Lord in the midst of Zion. But to God it might be so. Some of us long to see it and know it. And these stones with fair colours can be spoken of as those stones laid upon the foundation stone. They're living stones. Oh, they need the Lord. They need him so much. If he lays one of these stones by his grace, there'd be need, I'm sure, for the Lord's mercy and help. And there'll be much crying unto the Lord. But if he's laid something in your heart, friends, remember what it's laid for. Humbling. It's for that spirit of learning of him. It's for that particular establishing these souls. They shall not always walk in the valleys and in the mires. But the Lord will bring them out. He'll bring them out with their faces towards Zion. This is what we need, friends. These living stones that are so quickened by the Lord. Oh, that they do long to see his face. A few sweet attributes in the text. Oh, they do need the Lord to come again. They want the Lord to renew their hearts. And they do need the Lord to appear. Afflicted, tossed with tempest. Not comforted. The Lord to lay a stone or two upon things, and woe to that man that lifts them up or seeks to keep lifting them up. Putting God's name to it, friends, what a solemn matter that is. I believe when God begins with poor sinners, he lays a good stone in their heart, and it may be spoken of as the word of his grace and the conflict within. But there is especially something laid, and that's the tender fear of the Lord. You won't sin cheaply. And there's this truth, isn't there? The Lord lays it, and it's for a purpose. That soul to be established and built up. We need these living stones. What's the opposite to it? Well, it's very solemn. That spirit of the old nature dwelling still under the law. Formalism. But it won't do. There's a quickening, isn't there? And then the Lord sets his people in the way, but they need these stones to be laid for them, that they might be able to venture onwards. Might be able to find the ground good. Am I in something here? I have to just go as the Lord leads me. There's that dependence, isn't there? I was speaking to a man in the ministry. He said, oh, I need help every time. Well, that doesn't surprise me. Now, friends, it's what the Lord puts down and what remains in a sinner's heart. That's the tender fear of God and a hunger and thirst after righteousness. It doesn't mean to say we're always in a good place, that we're much in need of the Lord's mercy, aren't we? But in the general view of it, it's what God has laid down for these sinners to seek and to hope and to cry unto the Lord, that he will remember them with a favour he bears unto his people. Any stones laid in your heart? Oh, that sweet truth of the Spirit of God laying his truth in that wonderful way. And it is to lean upon the Lord, isn't it? And to seek his face. Perhaps I touch upon those that only just beginning in the way. And the Lord lay these stones in their heart. It'd be a good hand. What about the providences? The things he brings. Opposition of Satan. The dreadful onslaughts of Satan and the wickedness of our heart. Well, if he's laid something, friends, the Lord will prosper it. Oh, it may be so. We could go on with it. It's a word that has rested on my mind this afternoon. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. Now, where? In the church? With some of us, I hope all of us, there is that sweet regard to the church of God. It's where the Lord is. In the midst of Zion, where he establishes truth, makes himself known. Oh, would to God there might be more knowledge. It's by conviction and deliverance. It's that particular work of the Lord, isn't it? He lays this stone of hope and desire for the Lord. And it's like this, whatever it cost you, you still have to say, Lord, do grant me. May I be a living stone. In light of speech about it. Salem's courts above. Well, there are many things we could say about it. It's that from the building upon the chief cornerstone, which is Jesus Christ. But these stones live because they're brought to Christ. Indeed, because they're given to Christ. Wonderful doctrine, isn't it? We love him because he first loved us. That must hasten. I will lay thy stones with fair colours. Here is some measure of spiritual prosperity. Here is the beginning of the Lord, and here is that work, he will prosper, whatever it is. Here is that way in which the Lord will lead his church, his people, by the river, isn't it, of his love. And then setting down, settling down on that sweet truth. May we speak of it as being finished work of Christ upon Calvary. I was thinking of a text this evening a little while ago. I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Very sweet to me. Well, it doesn't mean there's nothing else to know, but that's the foundation stone, isn't it? Is it laid in your heart? Oh, the sweet merits of that cross. As you may be able to view a little of that sweet peace of it. Peace by his cross of Jesus made. Do you know a little touch of it? Or is there a stone laid in your heart so that you have to say, oh, that is what I need. More enlargement, more knowledge. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. I want to hasten. I must get further. With fair colours, I believe it speaks of the Lord's work. I believe it speaks of his grace. Wonderful display of it. Others will see it. You may not see much of it yourself. You say, well, I'm not what I once was, but oh, I do want to be more than what I am. Fair colours really speak of that glory to God, doesn't it? In his dealings. In his way of revealing the very person of Jesus Christ. And it's a way he chooses. There's a fair colour in his dealings to you. Say, well, I can see something now I never saw before. Needful the rod. Needful the cross. Needful he is. Needful art thou, my soul can say. Oh, do you need the Lord, friends, in strange, perplexing things? May the Lord grant that sweet truth as it is in Jesus, laid in your heart. You'll not go wrong then. And lay thy foundations with sapphires. The sapphire is that most precious stone. Is Christ like that to you? I mean, is he becoming more precious, a man more precious than fine gold? Oh, do you have to say, Lord, lay my soul well upon that precious, precious stone? It is spoken of as being as a foundation, so precious. Really, it's Christ, isn't it? The foundation of his love and mercy, and also his sin-atoning blood. That's a sweet foundation. That foundation of sapphires, as it were. It speaks of the gathering up of these characters. These coming unto the Lord. Until they're so laid upon that foundation and can speak of him too. He sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. Some of us went a long, long way. He to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, we don't speak rashly about it. Oh, what a mercy. If the Lord has delivered us from this world and the things of it in comparison to Christ, you still have to have your abode here, but you say, ah, I want to hear of him. I may know him. I may be with him too, now and through eternity. Now I know full well it's our hearts are so bad. But yet, there are real things here. There are those characters. And God speaks of them. I will lay thy stones with fair colours and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Well it is, and the Lord lays these foundations in poor sinners' heart. Now, it seems to me as if there are those that are joined together. And the Lord says he lays their foundation with sapphires. If there's that sweet application of souls being brought together to see the worthiness of Christ and the preciousness of that name. Oh, we need the Lord to keep our souls alive, I know. But then the most precious stone, sapphire, oh how it represents that sweet grace of the Lord, doesn't it? And his eternal love. A sapphire is that which is set in a particular way, isn't it? For the glory of those that may be possession of it naturally, but I speak far more spiritually. Are you in possession of Christ? In that sweet thought that he is precious and I'm vile. He is altogether lovely and I cannot keep my soul alive. I can do nothing. But you know, there's a striving, isn't there? Some say, well, we can't do anything. And the solemn thing is we can sin. What exercise of mind does it bring? Oh, the Lord grants us sweet deliverances. Much knowledge of Christ. If he's precious, it's a good mark of what the Lord has been pleased to lay in your heart. Desire for him. I want to hasten. And make thy windows of our gates, thy gates of carbuncles. Really, these are the sweet merits of the Saviour. These windows really speak of that looking out of the windows or that through the lattice of the Word. That sweet truth of seeking him and then there is that understanding, isn't there, of the preciousness of Jesus Christ. These windows of our gate. And he speaks of that clear stone, doesn't it? Wonderful stone, really, is an agate. Some speak it different, agate or agate. It's a wonderful stone indeed. No, it speaks of God's working of his grace. It speaks of the wonderful working of his grace until sinners are so established and taken to glory at last. Now these thoughts really come to this. Is he formed in our hearts a hope of glory? Different to formalism. Or is he brought to be most precious? And that truth is known in this, that here and there you can see this light upon this stone is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful stone that has that light abounding. Or is Christ like that? I like it when there's something fresh in the gospel, something precious in Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Now, it's this, isn't it? It's a viewing of our sin, and then deliverance from it. That's a good view, isn't it? Oh, well, it is when the Lord shows himself gracious through the man. When there's a sweet light in the way, a path where you can see a little way you must go, whatever it is. Say, that light is what I need, and it's in a precious Jesus. Lead kindly light, we sometimes are reminded of, aren't we? Well, the Lord's people need this stone and all its perfection. The sweet glory of it to guide and direct and reveal the sweet perfections of Jesus Christ. Much could be said of it. These windows of our gates speak of real things, the knowledge of Christ, and then the application of that knowledge for the deliverance from trials and troubles, for that application of the Lord for sin and unworthiness. Have you lost it lately? Looking unto Jesus, or has it returned? Or have you that desire for the Lord to show you some token? I was thinking of that word. They came to him from every quarter, so troubled and full of affliction, and yet he healed them all. Now, is there something sweetly made known in the person of Christ? So you can say, all my salvation, all my desire. Say, the bright and morning star, that's what I need. Or is it that morning star because the morning is so dark, you long for a little sweet light in your soul? And it's that revelation of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Sinner's friend. More than that, he's their saviour too. He bore their misbehaviour. Loads of sin was on him laid. You got a view of it? The greatness of it is seen him going to Calvary. And how he was nailed to that cross of wood, and his divinity sustained until nature was dead. What a sweetness there is. In the perfections of him that died, we often speak about it, the ordinance. It's that death of Christ, isn't it? What a sweet theme that is. He died for dead sinners, but he doesn't leave them dead, he quickens them. And there's that sweet knowledge of Christ, the living head, full of grace and truth. Can't be more full of grace than he is, friends. It's us that need the blessing of it. Some of the dear godly Scots are very particular about the knowledge of Christ and the sweet perfections of that dear man made known with life and power, with forgiveness, and then to bring them upon that foundation stone so that he is altogether lovely, the one thing needful. I without him perish must. I want to hasten and thy gates of carbuncles. Well, I'm sure you understand that this is the path which is full of trouble, fiery trials, things you didn't expect, things you can hardly believe, things that are turned round and opposite to what they ought to be. But these gates of carbuncles of which the Lord's people have to walk through the trials and the things. They have to seek the Lord to be with them in the furnace of affliction. It's that particular trial that we don't like, but it's for the, as my father used to say, for the brightening of the gold. That's how he used to speak. makes the gold shine. That's what he used to say. These carbuncles are really, I believe it's a fiery red stone. It represents the afflictions there are, and the things that amount to those trials so deep. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Oh, it speaks of a sufficiency in Christ. Now, he's this stone. Oh, how wonderful it is that he walked in that great trial, so it was for the sanctification. There's a hymn about it. To sanctify, make holy these characters that belong to him. Very sweet thought it is. Our captain stood the fiery test. He shall stand through him. No, it's the upholding in it, isn't it? It's the Lord to help and sustain. Perhaps in the night season. Oh, to grant that help of God, so much needed. When these trials come, we'll make thy windows of our gates and thy gates of carbuncles. Whatever it is, may the Lord deliver you. And grant a sweet knowledge of the Lord Jesus. This fiery trial is in his hand. Can't be heated more than he appoints. Just cannot, friend. The Hebrew worthies were sweetly favoured. Why not you? But then, it's the way, isn't it? The Master went. The trials and the terrible things. May the Lord grant a little sweetness in him. I must hasten to my last point or two. And all thy borders are pleasant stones. Well, I'm sure this has been preached from before, but it comes on my mind. These borders belong to those travellers, those pilgrims in the earth. Once they weren't at all. They could go with the flow, the multitude. And even with those that do not possess the true grace of God, but now they ask the Lord to be with them, whatever he may bring, whatever may prosper that work he's given to them in their hearts, or the fiery trial. Grace says, Lord, bring me through, hold me up in it. Grant that my border may be preserved and watched over. We have it before us in this sweet sense, the Church of God travelling through. Sometimes think of it every morning. It's that pilgrimage journey, isn't it? And that desire to be brought honourably through. Many, many, many things. You know, the Lord makes his people upright in his fear. And they have to seek to walk by it. Whatever may be said, all thy borders are pleasant stones. I want to notice it like this. There's that border. I think it says, look from the border of the pit to my recovering grace. That's a good border, isn't it? When the Lord appears. The borders of the pit, that they shall never swallow up. Dear child of God, no. That they cannot be swallowed up nor left to destruction. God's eye is upon them. He'll bring them through. And all thy borders are pleasant stones. What are they? The promises. We've got a few. What I mean is those choice ones. I had to be with my dear one when she passed away years ago. And the Lord came and graciously held me up to sweetly feel a little comfort in such a great sorrow. Oh, it's the Lord, isn't it? And these boarders, you know something of it? When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That sweet promise has been made so good, isn't it, to the Lord's people. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. No waters without the Lord's presence. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, right through them. Say, I can't go through this great trouble. When my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's been good to me lately. Oh, this rock, higher than I, sweetly exalted. And it's this, isn't it? The Lord will be with his people in all his holy, sovereign will. But, oh, it's in the things that belong to it. You need the Lord to hold you up, bring you through. They shall not overflow thee when thou walkest through the fire. Thou shalt not be burned or consumed. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, or to destroy thee, or to consume thee. But we've got much to be burned up, I know. As the Lord brings his people on, they learn a little. They've got things they set up there, way marks. You help me there. Furnace was very great, but the Lord brought me through it. It's like, oh, would to God I might have more grace and faith and patience. Wait on him still. Now what is the opposite to it, friends? It's seeking a nice, easy path and a way to heaven without the troubles and trials that belong to the living people of God. Oh, the many things try my heart so. Oh, it's these characters, friends. You know when they've come out of the furnace, it shows. They know, they took knowledge of them. They have been with Jesus. Their hearts are soft. There's that compunction, not always noticeable, of course. But it's this afterwards, isn't it? Got any afterwards? There were less afterward. He brings them through, and they might be able to say, well, it is the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. They are, there's another word, thinking about it. He hath done all things well. I was thinking about that a little while ago. I didn't preach from it. Can you say that? He has done all things well. All things? Yeah. Well, friends, he is a faithful God. And He will never forsake his people. Not an easy thing to walk in, is it? Say, ah, oh, I need a faithful God. My sins are many. Great is thy faithfulness. You need the Lord to be with you. And you love his faithfulness. Oh, where would you be without it? Perhaps together you can say, he has helped us hitherto. He that hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through these borders. Now the world wants to live here forever. The Lord's people are taught differently. It's by Christ, isn't it, in their hearts. Or they want to be knowing his will and falling into his hands. And they need the Lord to bring them through, whatever it may be. And all thy borders are pleasant stones. It speaks of the promises, doesn't it? I was thinking about it in God's word. Exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter, isn't it? You had a new promise? Oh, I didn't know that was in the scripture. Oh, it speaks of the faithfulness of God. So undeserved to poor, wretched sinners, but he leaves them his faithfulness. They've got their sins, but he doesn't take away his faithfulness, does he? He'll lead thee on, he'll bring thee through. And these are real characters. And I just had to come this evening with the word of his grace. May the Lord be pleased to take something so imperfectly spoken about and feeling to be coming so far short. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, not comforted, behold. The eye of faith, isn't it? I will lay my foundation, thy stones with fair colours. And lay thy foundations with sapphires, the good hope through grace the saints possess. And he'll grant that enlargement, thy windows of our gates. And thy gates of carbuncles, not without his love. And lay thy foundations, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Well, some of us can look back, and some of us over 40 years now. Say, ah, it's a wonderful thing. The Lord has sustained us and helped us on. And all thy borders are pleasant stones. Great is thy faithfulness. I leave it there. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Philip Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. 273.
Thank you.
love of God can do. Oh, do grant the love of God in our hearts and increase our faith. Lord, take us under thy care and keeping. Bless thy word, may it not return to thee void. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.